Welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Cheryl Chumley, who is a news writer, and her latest book is called The Devil in D.C. It is a WND book available at WNDbooks.com. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Jerry, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So who or what is the devil in D.C.?
Well, the book is basically making the case that we are not fighting against political forces, not so much politicians with D's versus R's or likewise before their names. We're fighting a battle of principalities, and the devil in D.C. Takes on a slew of issues and provides solutions for patriots and Christians to get more involved in the politics and culture of America.
What is a quick comment you would have about what's going on today in the presidential election in terms of the way a lot of the voters are not lining up with the establishment?
Good. It's about time. You know, we've been watching with growing alarm these last few years politicians who take to the campaign trail and the media platform and promise this and that and that and this. They promise to crack down on border control. They promise to reduce taxes. They promise more openness and transparency in government.
Repeal Obamacare.
We keep getting the opposite. We keep getting more and more socialist-type policies, and Americans are fed up. I'm very happy to see that the establishment is being tossed to the side this election season.
But God is a key element to your whole book. In fact, Mike Huckabee writes in the foreword of your book, "Without God in charge, without recognizing God as our leader, we're doomed." That reminds me of an old quote from Ronald Reagan where he says, "America is one nation under God, but if we ever forget that, we'll be a nation gone under."
Exactly. Well, exactly, and that's the whole premise of my book. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we need to have politicians cracking open the Bible on the campaign trail and quoting and reading to us. What we do need are more candidates such as Mike Huckabee was, who just, his worldview is wrapped up in biblical principles, godly government, and he just emanates it. He doesn't have to speak directly to it all the time, but morals, values, and principles are his guiding force, and that's what we need more of in politics.
Well, of the remaining candidates, it sounds to me like Ted Cruz fits that bill more than anybody else.
It does sound that way quite a bit, and I'm not picking a candidate at this point. Just to say the candidate that I voted for in my primary is not in it right now, and so I'm facing what a lot of Americans are right now, pick the best of what's left. And you know, we'll see what happens. I honestly believe that Trump is going to end up being the candidate. Trump is not necessarily somebody that we should shy from if we're looking first with a Christian viewpoint. At least he's speaking principles that put America first and not looking so much toward the globalization of America.
All right. Now, when you say the devil in D.C., and you are talking about Satan, you are talking about Lucifer, correct? I mean, in the big picture of things, ultimately? Okay.
I am.
Now, I'm sure the other side would push back and say, wow. I mean, it's one thing to disagree politically with somebody. It's another thing to all of a sudden say, hey, you're in line with the devil as opposed to with God and Jesus.
But isn't that how it is? You know, if you're somebody who lies, who are you following, God or the devil? If you're somebody who promises one thing and does another, who are you following? You know, you can't keep straddling this line pretending that you're a godly person when actually you're putting forth policies and agendas that are more in line with the devil.
You know, it's funny. I've done lots of interviews with all kinds of different people through the years. And I did a lot of interviews with Roy Moore in the early days of the, you know, campaign where basically it was the ACLU against him saying, hey, this guy should be fired because he's got the Ten Commandments, a hand-carved plaque of the Ten Commandments. And anyway, one of the ACLU attorneys I interviewed about Roy Moore, and I did many interviews, by the way, with Roy Moore himself, and I support Roy Moore, But anyway, this ACLU attorney said, you know, it's one thing for a judge or a jury to get, I mean, not a jury, but a lawyer to get up and say that it's wrong to steal. But it's another thing to have that as if it's the word of the Lord, you know, thou shalt not steal. But it's like, fellow, don't you understand? The word of the Lord is what counts in the ultimate picture.
And it should be the thing that counts the most. You know, this is a big problem, what you touch upon right now with your story about Roy Moore, whom I support also. You know, Christians need to be more bold. Stop apologizing or cowering in the corner because you're afraid that somebody's going to point fingers your way and say, oh, you believe in God and you're trying to shove godly principles down my throat. Well, you know what? This nation was built on Judeo-Christian principles. And founding fathers didn't all have the same views on religion, but none of them believed that atheism was the way to go. And we as a Christian nation, or we as Christian believers, should start taking a bolder stance, and I do go into this in my book, about what to do in politics and culture to pull back this encroachment from atheists and progressives who have been stealing our greatness.
Hmm. All right. You address in the book the border battle. Your comments there.
Right. You know, first and foremost, don't let the leftists and the radicals in politics right now pretend and force the rest of the nation to believe that it's compassion to open the borders. That's not compassion. That's a political agenda. Compassion is when you take it upon yourself to help somebody because you have some element of concern or some belief that
from your own resources, even from your own resources, as opposed to, you know, just stealing from the government for doing so.
Well, that's the problem with the immigration border right now, the immigration battle. You have politicians pointing fingers at the rest of us saying, oh, you need to do this and you need to open the borders to that. And meanwhile, they go back to their sheltered homes and mansions where they don't have to deal with the repercussions of their amnesty provisions.
Right.
So that's something that we should look at as hypocritical and not be afraid to call it out.
Okay, your book addresses the issue of debt. Where does the devil fit in that?
Well, debt is slavery, you know, and whether we're talking about debt on the personal family level or we're talking about debt on the federal deficit level, that's something that we need to seek to get a hold of. Start small, start in your own home, and then you can turn around and press your legislators and your congressmen and your White House to start reining in debt as well.
You know, and one of the things that's just so amazing is that there is a moral component to this. How moral is it, honestly, to put this enslaving debt on the backs of our children and grandchildren so that this generation can live high off the hog? I mean, it's just, it's unconscionable when you consider the trillions and trillions and trillion dollars of debt. I mean, just this administration alone, have they not doubled the national debt? And what does that mean for future generations of Americans?
Oh, it's mind-boggling, and I do go into some of the numbers that, you know, future generations are facing in terms of paying down debt. You know, that's just enslaving the next generation to paying down debt, and it's binding them, preventing them from reaching their own financial, you know, goals because they have to pay earlier generations' debt.
Okay, what are your comments on dealing with Islam and Muslims? We saw the recent, this is being recorded, by the way, the day after the Brussels bombing.
Right. Well, Trump's dead on this, Mark, and so is Senator Ted Cruz, to be honest. You know, let's stop with the political correctness and let's stop acting as if every religion in the world is exactly the same and that we all believe in the same things. We don't. Some religions are easier to politicize than others, and reality speaks loud. If you look at where the terrorism is coming from in the world, it's radical Islamism, and we should not be afraid to say it just because our own president and White House, you know, cabinet members don't want to.
Any comments about the Second Amendment?
Oh, the Second Amendment, I have a whole chapter on this, and I don't think that being Christian means you have to be defenseless. I look at the Bible, I look at Founding Father documents, and I draw the conclusion that, you know, if you have to shoot somebody in self-defense who's broken into your home to save your family, I don't think that's going to destine you to any sort of, punishment from God.
And I think, it's so true, too, that, while on the one hand the Bible says turn the other cheek and so forth, there's a sense in which that's personal ethics, where if somebody's taking from you, you go the extra mile, you show them love. It's another thing when you're talking about defenseless people that don't want to have to pay that price, if that makes sense.
It does, and it's a crazy mantra that's been seeping into Second Amendment arguments I've noticed in the last couple years, where you have religious leaders, religious folk, coming out and trying to make the case that the Bible says you should not own guns. I find that completely skewed, and I also find it completely political agenda.
Now, you used to be in the Army, correct? And you're still a veteran, is that right?
Yes, I was in the Army, and I liked guns before the Army, and I supported guns after the Army. That it's just simply not true to say that, if you believe in God or you are a Christian, then you give up your right to defend yourself and family.
All right, you have a chapter in the book. Again, the book is called The Devil in D.C., wndbooks.com for more information. You have a chapter in the book on the Constitution.
Well, that's a very important chapter because, first and foremost, if we all haven't read the Constitution, those who haven't read the Constitution need to right now. It takes about 20 minutes. It's a short, small document, which may surprise you how short it is, given all the laws that come out that are thousands of pages supposedly based on the Constitution. But don't just read it. Teach it to your kids, because the schools are not doing the job on this. And the importance of knowing the Constitution is so you can look at the evening news, you can read the daily newspaper, and you can see how far we've strayed. So that may motivate you to get in the battle.
And I might add, if that's all right, add to that the Declaration of Independence, too, because the Constitution basically deals with the specifics of how we are to be governed, but the Declaration of Independence explains why we're a nation and that our rights come from God.
Exactly, and the Declaration of Independence is so inspirational to read. Again, it's a very short document, but if that doesn't bring out the patriotic tears or at least give you a little rush of passion for this nation, I don't know what would.
You have a chapter in the book about how we need more Jonahs. What are you referring to?
Well, Jonah, for those who read the Bible or who are aware of the biblical story, was chosen by God to deliver a message to a nation called Nineveh, basically to save that nation from destruction. Jonah was reluctant to go. He ran in the opposite direction, ended up in the belly of a fish because he defied God. He finally decided, hey, maybe I better do this. So he got spit out on the land, and he went and he delivered the message to Nineveh. Nineveh turned around and repented of its evil, and God allowed that nation to continue. This is what can happen in America. We are so close, I believe, to facing God's full judgment because of our moral decay, that we need more Jonahs. We need more people who may be reluctant at this moment in time, but who nevertheless take steps, overcome fear, and with faith in God, start talking about these things that we need to change in this nation to bring ourselves back under the protection of God.
You know, in terms of God's judgment, I think the way it will happen, and maybe the way it's already beginning to happen, is basically God just letting us over to our own devices, just giving us over to our own ways, so we reap the natural consequences. In other words, removing his divine protection, which did exist prior to all this.
You are so right on that, Jerry. I really agree with you, and I actually give some good examples in my book and quote some good people who believe similarly. That when you do wrong in God's eyes, he, and this is biblical, and I do quote the Bible in my book, the pertinent portion, he will basically let you go on your own pathway. He'll remove his protection. He'll let you go on your own devices, and the consequences that befall, well, they're your doing. And so if you look at things like, you know, the abortion rate, STDs, you know, drug use, the broken families and so forth, you can see, well, those aren't things that are exactly blessed by God. So where is he? Well, we're living the judgment for the sins we've committed.
Hmm. All right, Cheryl Chumley, thank you so much for joining us. Can we leave on a happy, positive note? How about a concluding thought in 15 seconds? That's all we have time for. Something
definitely.
Positive, though.
Oh, the positive note is hope prevails. Remember, love, faith, and hope, and this country is back on track. Christians, patriots, take these principles and get in the political and cultural game, and I have full faith that our nation is going to come back under the umbrella of God, his full protection and grace.
Cheryl Chumley, thank you for joining us. Again, the name of her book is The Devil in D.C., WNDBooks.com. Thank you now. God bless.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.